Can we play the first song a bit slower? Because, like, I'm not good at the riff.
Yeah, sure. Alright, so. 1, 2, 3, 4.
From there, thanks very much. So sometimes it's good to pause and consider some of the big questions in life, and see your kids going out to Kingdom Kids. Yeah, awesome. And happy birthday, Micaiah. She's 10 today. Woohoo! A birthday special, Kingdom Kids, for you. Have an awesome time. So do you ever think about the big questions, like, why are you here? What is this life for anyway? Lots goes on, doesn't it? Where are you going in life? God wants us to know whose we are and what we're about. That's always his intent for us. He doesn't want us to be confused. So that's why the Bible is so awesome. And God created each of us here so uniquely. It's wonderful that we're not all the same. How boring would that be? People are full of surprises, aren't they? I find that all the time. But we're all his children and brought into a family, living together to please God in all we do. And so for 2022, we've set forth a strategy to achieve this, and that's the GROW strategy, which is up before us now. So the G, we're wanting to be ready for Christ's return, to be his bride, his holy bride, and all that entails. Growing in relationships and relating to one another in godly ways. We need this and we need this relationship. Opportunities to make the most of every opportunity to let others know of God's love and his plan for them. And to have a worshipful lifestyle. So we're wanting to think about, you know, how can we honour God with all that we are and all that we do and have. And so for this month, to facilitate this GROW strategy, we're going to start thinking about stewardship. We're going to consider how we use the great things that God's already given us to help us grow into spiritual maturity. So how all that will work together. And so we're going to talk during April about how we steward our time. So we're going to do that today. Our treasure and our money. Oh, there we go. And then we'll have Easter in the middle, and then what we do with our talents, the gifts that God's given us. Spiritual gifts and things like that. So, okay, we're going to talk about time today. So God has given us so much, and time is one of the things we've received from him. And with all of our gifts, God wants us to use them wisely, and he's interested in how we do that. He's looking to see how well are we using the things that we're doing and using these things for him. Not in a way that he wants to smack us over the head if we're doing it wrong, but he really wants to call us into greater life and flourishing, and how we use our gifts and stewardship helps to open that up and deepen that for us. So how we spend time shapes our character, our happiness, our success and our future. So what do you do in your free time? How does God want us to spend time? Well, it's a good thing that as we look at Scripture, we get some help with that about how God wants us to spend time. And you might hear that word free time and you think, Maria, I don't have free time. I have so much to do. I've got family. And that's true. I understand that. I did read a story about an African woman who came from her village to visit someone in America, and she was in this woman's kitchen, and she was watching this woman push all the buttons and things were working and doing this, turn on the tap, all this water, and she just looked at this woman and said, "What do you do with all your free time?" So it's all comparative, isn't it? It's pretty amazing that only 50 years ago, washing our clothes was a very arduous affair and would take most of the day to do. It was 50 years ago that they introduced the automatic washing machine that looks a little bit about what we have today. And yet, even with that, you know, we're very fortunate because 5 billion of the world's population of 7 million hand wash their clothes still. So we're very fortunate here in the West, aren't we? We have a lot of gadgets and stuff that really help with that. So a little bit of research that was done. Whoopsie. A bit of an idea about how we work our time. So we do sleep a lot. I'm thankful for that. Working. And then there's the red area, the leisure, sport. So it says 2.6 hours, and then there's some other time, which could be, I don't know what. But some research shows that a person beyond the age of 15 generally has about 5 hours of extra free time. And you might be thinking, yeah, that's not me. But anyway, I'm just letting you know what the research says. I'm just the messenger. So if you think about 5 hours, that's about a third of our awake time, which is pretty huge. So what do we do with all of this time? And I guess a question could be, is all this time that we have good for us? Because, again, according to research, most of the free time we have is used for entertainment, television, surfing the web, video games and so on. And sometimes the way people spend their free time gets them into a bit of trouble. And interestingly, we've been talking about this in previous weeks, that what or who we spend time with changes us to be like that thing or that person. We talked about worship, and that Psalm 115:8 says that those who make them, those false idols, will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. So we have to be careful. You know, it's a bit of a warning, isn't it, that psalm about what are we spending time with or doing. If we consider violent video games, it's not that every time... you know, that you're necessarily going to be violent. But again, research shows that those who have committed murders actually watching violent video games was a big part of their free time. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled, but bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. And I say this to your shame." So Paul was really trying to say, hey, do consider how you spend your time and who you spend it with or what you do. Another really great proverb is, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So with that, we really need to make good, conscious decisions about what we allow to enter our minds. And what, because it affects our hearts. And this directly impacts the kinds of entertainment we would want to choose. And also, you know, obviously pornography is very prevalent, easily accessible online. And experts believe that pornography addiction is harder to break than heroin. It destroys marriages and families. It strongly contributes to divorce. It plays a significant role in sexual violence and so on. So Christians must really be very aware of the psychological, spiritual and even physical destruction that pornography can cause. And we need to make a really firm decision to avoid it at all costs. And sometimes when people talk about all this and you've never looked at pornography, you might think, oh, what's all the fuss about? You know, I want to have a quick look. But, you know, I'll be fine. Don't be curious, because it only takes one moment and then you can be hooked. It's like if I put my hand on a hot stove, it's going to actually burn your hand. So don't do that. You probably wouldn't think, oh, I'll just try that out. What's Maria talking about? So you want to make good decisions to guard your heart and say no in your heart and your mind about that. Okay, so what is the antidote that we can find in Scripture to help us spend time wisely? Proverbs is, there's another great proverb, 20 verse 4. It says, if you don't sow, there won't be a harvest. So a little bit of an insight there, that if you don't actually prepare for something, like studying for a test, you might not pass it. So that's really asking us, what do you want to achieve? You know, if you don't do one thing, you won't get this. So what is it you want to get? What is it you want to achieve? Let's spend time going for that. And Scripture talks about how to actually order our priorities. And we can see that in Ephesians 5, starting at verse 14. And it's prioritising how we prioritise to live for God. Perseverance. Okay, Ephesians 14 says, it's the light that makes everything visible. And this is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So God wants us, I reckon, to wake up from drifting through life, which we can so easily do, and letting life just happen to us. Allowing distractions to determine our course, but instead to consider what is the Lord's will for you and to think about that. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, or in some versions actually says redeeming the time. There you go, time again. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And interestingly, Paul is actually talking to Christians here. So there is the very real possibility that we can be foolish with how we use our time and miss what God actually wants for us. So, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. This is really, when I read this, I see it reading that this is really talking about everything that kind of meets our fleshly or natural needs or wants. Don't go for that. And our natural wants are very strong. And this is where we're asked to use our will and energies to have mastery over them. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be led by what God actually wants for you. Let that have mastery over you. So instead of getting drunk, be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what God wants is for us to worship Him. That's what we're actually made for anyway. To focus on the great things of God and not to do this on our own either. It's quite interesting. He didn't say just sing and make music in your heart. He said, do it to one another. So as we focus on God together, we become more like God. So this is very much in contrast to following our natural desires, and which means it won't come easily. It won't be the natural thing that you'll want to do. We need to deliberately choose God's ways. We need to deliberately plan to meet with others, like making time for small groups, etc. And we can expect that doing this, making it a priority, will seem very hard at first, actually, and along the way even, because it goes against our natural inclination for rest and leisure and doing things for ourselves. Have you ever tried, I just want to throw it, have you ever tried going on a diet or fasting? I've tried many times and with various success. And to succeed, you really need to take over control of what your body wants and telling you what it really needs. You know, because my body wants Tim Tams every day and so on and so forth. You know, our bodies have very strong urges. But once you start to say no to what your body actually wants and actually dictate a new path and tell it, and you've got to really be strong and say, no, Maria, you're not having Tim Tams today. Be very determined. But you actually begin to see what self-control and self-discipline actually looks like. And as you keep walking and you feel like, oh, I feel like I've actually got control here and I've got some authority. And you start, you know, we're seated in places of authority at the right hand. We're in Christ at the right hand of the Father. And, you know, that first place, which signifies authority, so the first place we need to start demonstrating and flexing our authoritarian muscle is really on ourselves. And to do that, so once you do, you think, oh wow, this isn't easy. This is actually a minute-to-minute decision that I have to make. And it's the same thing with walking in the Spirit. As we do it more and more, there are things that will become, oh yeah, I can do that now. I don't need to exert so much control on myself to make me want to do that, because I'm enjoying the fruit, you know, of going to small group. It's wonderful to go and gather with others and pray and look at the word together. It's wonderful. And I come away and think, oh, that was fantastic. But sometimes to get there, you know, it might have been a push. Things for us to think about. So God wants us to have this self-control in all aspects of our life so that we can choose to follow him in all that we do, to be led by the Spirit and not our own desires. You know, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. And God has given us his Spirit. We have God's very presence in us. How awesome is that? So if we look at Galatians, fantastic. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the nature, to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So there'll be conflict. So be ready for it. But decide what it is that you want to do, that you want to follow God's will for your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So we have it. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And so you're saying, hey, Maria, but I still feel like doing all these things. Like, I like Tim Tams too. And I know that. But we actually, because we're in Christ, we actually, for the first time now, can actually make a decision to say no. Whereas before, we didn't. Because we didn't know the difference even. But now we do. And so we can make an intentional decision every minute Sometimes it feels like that of every day. All right, something of interest. Satan is very aware of time. You know, God isn't bound by time, we are, and so is Satan. And when the dragon, which is Satan, saw that he had been hurled to the earth, the dragon was enraged and went off to make war against those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So he's very bound by time and he's very focused on how he's going to spend his time to bring us down with delusions, distractions, destruction. And Scripture tells us to be very aware of the devil's schemes. Interesting, isn't it? We need to be thoughtful about how we live. And Peter also encourages us to use our time to live for God. He said, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry." But he says, "The end of all things is near." Time is not going to continue forever. I don't even know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. No one does, do we? But time is limited and Jesus is coming back. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Interesting, isn't it? The self-control keeps getting reiterated over and over again. So let's keep in conversation and connected with God. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So the scriptures are telling us how to use our time, and that is to be otherly minded, blessing others with what God has blessed you with, to be prayerful. Let's keep asking God, how can I please you today? Who can I bless and how? How do you want me to spend my time? This week I got a message from Simon, who shared a wonderful testimony. If you can come up, Simon, which was a great little example of how God urged Simon to use his time.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. Just to put this in context, the season of my life at the moment is one of those seasons where it feels like not much is happening in the kingdom. And I mean, God's always at work, so it's just kind of more underground stuff that God's doing, and you don't feel it. The other part of the context for me is that I don't like being interrupted. I'm a very planned person and don't mess with the system. So on Tuesday mornings, I work from home. And I love that because there are no interruptions. I can just get on and do whatever it is I need to do. So this past Tuesday, I was working from home. Had to get into the city for a 1 o'clock meeting. And bit after 12, I was having some lunch, and some of you have been to our house. If you haven't been to our house, it's just, front garden, house, and side gates that are closed on either side. So back is quite private, and our kitchen living area is right down the back at the end of the house. So I was sitting, no one else was home. I was sitting in back of our house having lunch, enjoying my peaceful time to myself, and I saw some legs going past the window because the blinds were kind of halfway down, so I just saw the legs. I thought, who on earth is that? I thought Angus has been staying. I thought maybe Angus has come home early. And so I sort of popped out the side door and had a look, and there's this young guy there. He looked a bit troubled, and I said, what are you doing? And he looked quite sheepish, and you know, like he knew he wasn't meant to be there. So he'd open the gate and come through, and he's like, oh, I was looking for cigarettes. So he was up to no good. And right, the natural reaction there would normally be like, you know, fight or flight. But I feel like the presence of God was there because I just felt totally peaceful. And so I didn't really say very much, and he just started pouring out his troubles to me and talking about how, you know, how troubled he was and the trauma that he'd gone through and how he hadn't always been like this. And I felt like this was a God moment. So I didn't feel it was right to bring him into our house. I didn't think that was wise, but I just said, well, just, why don't you just come out the front and we'll have a chat. So we brought him out the front and we just sort of sat down on the front step and I was chatting away to him and he was just kind of pouring out his stuff. And at a certain point, I just felt prompted by the Spirit. Someone might want to open that back door, I guess. And felt to speak about love. And so I said to him, look, if I had to take a guess, I'd say that, you know, what you really need is love and acceptance and, you know, maybe your parents, for whatever reason, couldn't give that to you. Mm. And he just started crying. And we talked a little bit more and I felt that internal struggle of do I bring the God thing into it? So I did. I said to him, you know, the kind of love that you need, really only God can feel that. Do you have any kind of faith background? And he told me how his dad had taken him to youth group when he was young, but he hadn't seen it modelled at home. So there's the, you know, the hypocrisy kind of thing, which is a real killer of faith. And so I said, well, can I pray for you? Would that be too weird? And he let me pray for him, and he started crying again. And I had no idea through all this, like, how much time it had been. But I just felt like it was like God was in control of that. And then he left and I moved on. And then the sort of subtext to it at the end. And look, there was no instant, you know, repentance and anything like that. We found out a little bit more about him later in the day, but I feel like that message of love for him was really important. And then the after story for me was that, you know, I had this 1 o'clock meeting in the city and I just had a dream run to the to where I had to go with a park right out the front where there's normally no parks. You know, and was that God? I don't know, but I feel like it was. Like God kind of honoured the time that that I gave. So
awesome. That
was my story.
Wow, what a great testimony. Thank you so much, Simon. How awesome. I might invite the worship guys to come up. Just as I finish, I just wanted to say that we're seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father, aren't we? Which is a place of authority. So my encouragement and mutual challenge for all of us is to let's take authority over our own lives first. Let's determine that we will be filled with the Spirit each day, empowered to live fully for God, so that we can spend our time loving others deeply and in so doing pleasing God. It's great. So I'll just invite you to stand and I'll just pray, because we like to give room for God, make room for him. So Lord, we thank you for your encouragement today, that you have given us so much. And Lord, you want us to use our gifts wisely. And Lord, so we're open. Lord, if there's some aspect of our lives that you want to fine-tune or bring into alignment, Lord, would you just come and move in our hearts and our minds right now as we sing worship to you. Lord, we come to your throne of grace and mercy, and love. And we know that you are such a beautiful and good Father. And Lord, you're always leading us into greater joy, into a greater opportunity to live life to the full. And that's a life that pleases you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Come.